The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So this morning I'd like to want to talk about moms. I want to honor our mothers. I want to talk about the blessing that a mother really is to us. And for some of you, maybe I can't say that everyone had a great relationship with your mother. But regardless, we are supposed to honor our mothers. A couple little children went to the store. Their teenage brother took them. They had earned some money to buy their mother a Mother's Day gift. And they went to the florist. And when they came back, they brought this beautiful flower home to their mother. And they presented it to mom. And on that, the flower had a beautiful lavender ribbon on it, and on the ribbon it said, "Rest in peace." The little boy piped up immediately. He said, "Mommy, I knew you would love this because you're always asking us for a little peace so you can rest." I'm sure most mothers can identify with that, huh? Amen. The American version of what we call Mother's Day was created by Ann Jarvis in 1908. It became official U.S. holiday in 1914. She fought for many years to make Mother's Day a national holiday. After it became a national holiday, it became so commercialized that she fought for the rest of her life to remove it from the calendar. She hated what it had become. And we do realize that, you know, everything about holidays that we have are always commercialized. You know, everybody wants to make a dollar on anything and everything that's going on. And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we just put way too much emphasis on purchasing something for our mothers rather than doing something for them that they would really like, honoring them, making sure that that they receive the love that they are so much in need of. So with the fact that Mother's Day is commercialized as it is, and that's okay, you know, a lot of our economy around this area for different people is based on the fact that people purchase things for their mother on during this holiday. So, but this morning I want to talk about some things that we can do other than just purchase something, get a card or whatever it is that we do for our mothers, buy our flower. Those are awesome things, and I'm not against any of that. But let's talk about some things that are very important to mothers. And the number one thing that comes to my mind is honor. Ephesians 6:2 says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." So God gives us a promise that if we honor our fathers and mothers, and today we're focusing on our mother, then we will have a good, prosperous life. So number one thing that we need to do is make sure this morning that we're honoring our mothers. And that means we honor them not just on this day, but every day. Every day they recognize that they are special and that they are honored. I read about a stay-at-home mom who went to a PTA meeting. And while she was gone, they'd had dinner, and while she was gone, the father had him and the kids cleaned up after dinner, done all the dishes, had everything sparkling clean. And when she came home, she just walked in, she went through the kitchen, went into the living room, and sat down. Well, Dad couldn't stand it any longer, and he said, "Honey, didn't you see that we cleaned up after dinner and cleaned up the kitchen? Are you not going to say at least say thank you to me and the kids?" And she said, "Why should I? It's a thankless job." Why? Well, what she was saying is she never gets a thanks. It's just expected. So it's very important sometimes that we take a step back and say, "Hey, wait a minute. Husbands, make sure you honor your children's mother by thanking her for the meal or thanking her for the things that she does on a daily basis. Let's make sure we honor our mothers. Don't forget to appreciate your mother every day." Now, some of you may not have had such a great relationship with your mother. I don't know what the situation is, but sometimes that does happen. Sometimes people have falling out with their mother. Sometimes they didn't feel like their mother was there for them like they should be. And that becomes very painful. But I do want you to understand that the one that is harmed by unforgiveness, if you have unforgiveness toward your mother, you're the person that gets harmed by that. Unforgiveness, I've heard it said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison. You know, your desire is to harm the other person, but you're really the one that's being harmed by that. Unforgiveness will destroy you. So it's extremely important that we not allow unforgiveness, no matter what the relationship has been in the past with your mother, to interfere with your relationship with the Lord. Ask God to help you deal with it. You know, I read a story this past week about a gentleman who was in a grocery store. And while he was in this grocery store, he had this woman, elderly lady, that was kind of following him around. He kind of felt like she was stalking him or something. And finally, he got in line, and as she got in line with her groceries, she jumped in front of him. She said, I know that you probably are feeling uncomfortable because I was staring at you and following you around, but I want you to know, you look so much like my son. And I haven't seen my son for several years. I just wanted to let you know that." And he said, you know, he sympathized with her and said, "You know, is there anything I can do for you?" And she said, "Yeah. Would you please say goodbye, Mom, as I'm walking out the door? That would mean so much to me." So she got her groceries and checked through, and then he came up. He had a few little bit of items, and he checked through. And as she was walking away, he waved and said, "Goodbye, Mom." And she waved and smiled. When the cashier finished with his items, the cashier said, "It'll be $130. He said, "What? These items? $130? Are you sure?" He said, "I am absolutely positive." "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, your items is $10 and your mother's is $120. Talk about being taken advantage of. Wow. Maybe you feel that way with your mother. She took advantage of you, or she did some things that were not necessarily acceptable as a mother. But listen, we got to pay the bill. And the bill is forgiveness. If you pay that bill, praise God, your life will be so much better. Maybe your mother's already passed on. And you need that forgiveness. You need to be able to walk in that in order for your life to go on, for you to be the kind of person that God has called you to become. Pay that bill of forgiveness. Second thing I want to share with you this morning is influence. Influence is so powerful. A mother has great influence. Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. The story of Moses is really a story of a mother who had faith to believe that God was going to use her son in an awesome and mighty way. Because of her great faith, she influenced her son. Now, the scripture tells us that she put him in a basket and the princess of Egypt found him. But the interesting thing about that is while he was still a toddler and nursing, his mother took care of him. And I'm sure that mother instilled biblical principles in that little boy as he was growing up. You know how impressionable children are. They are so very impressionable. And when we can speak into their life, no matter who we are, we're speaking something godly, we're doing a great service to them, to their life. But mothers in particular have the power to speak volumes into a child's life. We love them. You'll take care of them, meeting all their needs. But listen, they have spiritual needs that are above and beyond any physical need that they have. They need to know the Lord is good. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That goes for he or she. He is gender neutral there. It's talking about children. This principle was so important to God that children be taught the Word of God that when the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan, now this was a miracle. When the priests, they picked up the Ark of the Covenant, when their feet touched the water during flood stage, the river was out of its banks. And when their feet touched the water, the river parted. They walked across on dry land. When they got on the other side, they were commanded to go back into the river and get stones from that river and take them and set them up on the other side, on their side, now their side of the river, so that in the future, the scripture tells us that so that when your children ask, what are these stones, you will be able to tell them the story of God's great power and deliverance. The whole story. Not just the crossing of the Jordan, but the deliverance from Egypt and everything that God did. God expected parents to speak into the life of their children. Expected them to set up monuments. Now, not places of worship in your home, not idols. You can have a place of worship, of course, but I'm talking about idols, not to set up idols, but set up monuments in your home, pictures and stories, and make sure that you're instilling the principles. Mothers, you have this power to instill great influence over your children through the Word of God. Teach your children. Train them. Miles Monroe said this. He said, the greatest gift God has given man, aside from salvation, of course, is what he was talking about, is not the gift of sight, but the gift of vision. Because sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. That's why the Word of God is so clear on we walk by faith and not by sight. Mothers, I believe that it's extremely important that you teach your children and train them up in the things that they can see, the Word of God and life. But at the same time, you must encourage them by faith to fulfill the vision that God has for their life. He has a great vision for each and every one of our children. It may not, you know, we may have a vision for what our children are going to become, but God's vision is much more important. And that's what they need to seek, is the vision that God has for them. William Ross Wallace wrote a poem, and I'm not going to read the poem, but it was, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." the mother that teaches and trains her children. It truly is. These principles are real. And yet, in our society, we're seeing less and less of our mothers, our parents, instilling these principles, godly principles, into our children. We have forfeited the responsibility of training up our children. Sometimes we've tried to give it over to the church, and it's not the church's responsibility. The church is to help. The church is to encourage. The church is to be there to lift up and encourage the principles that are being taught at home. But it's not the church's responsibility to train up the children. It's the parents. It's not the school system's responsibility, although they want to take on that responsibility and train your children in ungodly ways. They're trying very hard, younger and younger and younger, to capture our children. And the only way that we can thwart that is for children to be taught in the home the godly principles. The only way we can stand against that. Now, yeah, I believe in Christian schools. I believe in homeschooling. I believe in whatever means you choose, public schools. Just make sure you understand that wherever they go, they're not the ones that are responsible for training up their children, your children. You are. You are. Timothy was a young man who was greatly influenced by godly women in his life. He had a mother and a grandmother. Now, the best we can discern from history is that Timothy's mother was a Jew, and his father was most likely a Greek. So his mother was the one that was instilling biblical principles in Timothy. And of course, Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was Paul's disciple. Timothy eventually became a pastor and led church. Timothy, and his name Timothy literally means timid. So maybe he had some timidity issues that he had to deal with. Yeah, in his life. That we find in 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to him and said, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So that most likely those are issues that he dealt with in his life. And yet, he took on the responsibility that God had called him to because he had these principles, these godly principles instilled within him by his mother and his grandmother. Here's what 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance, this is Paul speaking, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. What an awesome heritage Timothy received from his mother and his grandmother. Biblical principles, and then eventually coming to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham Lincoln said this, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. One of the great leaders, one of the great presidents that we had. Susanna Wesley was a godly mother. Susanna had 19 children. 9 of those children died as infants. So she raised 10 children. Her husband was not around much. He was a preacher, but he had some issues in his life, came and went a lot. So she was responsible for raising up her children. And of course, she had two very famous, John and Charles Wesley. One was a great songwriter, and the other was an evangelist and a founder of the Methodist organization, Methodist system, which, by the way, the Methodist during the time of John Wesley is not the Methodist of today. And that's pretty typical of denominations. Denominations, they lose sight of the heritage that they were founded on. And they move away from the really strong biblical principles. In the day of John Wesley, the Methodists were considered radicals because they raised their hands and praised God, because they clapped, because they shouted, because they showed a little bit of emotion when it came to serving the living God. They were considered radicals. And some radical things happened among them because they preached the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be saved. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, Susanna Wesley was the primary source of her children's education. She started them at 5 years old, and she trained them in the Bible, and she made them memorize scripture. She taught them biblical principles, and she educated them at the same time. Later on in life, John Wesley would say this. He would say, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." Mothers, take that to heart. I learned more from my mother about God than all the preachers and all the teachers that I've ever sat under. I learned love. I learned compassion. I learned the things of God. Take that to heart, mothers. If you're a young mother in here, think about what was being said here. It's so very, very powerful. A Spanish proverb says this: an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. Amen? I like it. The last thing I want to share with you this morning, and I'm just about done, is a mother is about sacrifice. Ephesians 5:2, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." A mother's love is filled with sacrifice. Here's a quote that I picked up somewhere, I don't even know where. "A mother is a person who, seeing there are only 4 pieces of pie for 5 people, promptly announces she never did care for pie anyhow." Amen to that. My mother has always put her children, and many times other people, first before her needs. When she goes to the grocery store, half of her grocery bill is spent on buying junk for her children and her grandchildren. She always buys things that her children and grandchildren will want when they come in. She knows what our likes are. She knows that I like honey buns. She knows that I like cherry Pepsi. You know, she knows that I like Milk Duds, so I can go to the drawer. Now listen to me, this is my mother's home, but she has this special place that some of the kids have found out where it is, that she puts my Milk Duds in this drawer. And I don't have to ask her for Milk Duds, I just go to that drawer and there's my Milk Duds. That's special, isn't it? She makes me feel special. And she's a special woman. Special things. It's very important that we honor our mothers because for the most part, they make sacrifices that we sometimes don't even recognize. You know, they do the things in the middle of the night for their children that only a mother can do. They're there when we're sick and we've been sick in the past, and they've been there comforting us and loving us and protecting us, soothing us when we fall down and got that little bump and bruise. Mommy kisses it and makes it feel better. There's a lot of pains and hurts in this world. Sometimes mommy can't make it go away, but she sure tries. And she wants to, if possible. Mothers make lots of sacrifices. My wife makes sacrifices for our children. She's always baking, cooking something, buying something for the children and the grandchildren. Sometimes they kind of take it for granted. But one day they'll look back and see just how special Graham was, her mom. Most of the time, many times, she doesn't even feel like doing what she does, but she does it. That's a mother. Mothers don't, they're not about being a mother because they feel like being a mother every day. They're about being a mother because that's their calling. That's what God has given them, to be a mother. True love is bound up in sacrifice. And mothers truly sacrifice. I'd like to read this to you this morning. As we wrap things up. This is for all mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, wiping up barf full of Oscar Mayer wieners and cherry Kool-Aid, saying, "It's okay, honey, mommy's here." This is for all mothers who show up at work with spit up in their hair and milk stains on their blouses and diapers in their purse. This is for all the mothers who froze their buns off on metal bleachers at football or soccer games so that when their kids asked, "Did you see me?" they could say, "Of course, I wouldn't miss it for the world." This is for all the mothers who sat down with their children and explained all about making babies, and for the mothers who wanted to but just couldn't do it. This is for all the mothers who read their children's favorite bedtime story twice a night for a year and then read it again just one more time, mommy. This is for all the mothers who taught their children to tie their shoelaces before they started school, and all the mothers who opted for Velcro instead. This is for all the mothers whose heads turn automatically when a little voice calls mommy in a crowd, even though they know their own are at home or have been on their own for years. This is for mothers whose children have gone astray and who can't find the words to reach out to them. For all the mothers who bite their lips sometimes until they bleed when their 14-year-olds dye their hair green or yellow or purple or whatever color it is. This is for the mothers who give birth to babies they'll never see. For the mothers who took the babies and gave them homes. This is for mothers who put pinwheels and teddy bears on their children's graves. This is for mothers of children with severe limitations. Your freedom has been exchanged for cherished service of love. This is for those who have lost their mothers and would give anything to take them out to lunch today. I know I'm speaking to some in here. This is for young mothers stumbling through diaper changes, deep sleep deprivation, and mature mothers learning to let go. For working mothers and stay-at-home mothers, single mothers and married mothers, mothers with money, mothers without. This is for all of you. So hang in there. You're doing a great job. We'll wrap this up. I'd like to tell you a true story about a little boy who lived in Florida with it. And one day he and his mother were home alone, and they had a pond out in front of the house, and the little boy wanted to go swimming, and he ran down without even looking. Now listen, you got to understand, in Florida, if there's a body of water, there's alligators. That's what I've been told when I go to Florida. Be careful. He ran down, jumped in that water, and started swimming out to an island that was in the middle of that pond. And his mother looked out the window, and as what she saw horrified her. The alligator was swimming directly toward her son. She ran out and screamed. And she got his attention, and because she was screaming, he turned around and came back. And as he reached the dock, His mother grabbed a hold of him, but at the same time, the alligator grabbed a hold of his legs. The mother, of course, the alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was determined she was not going to let go of her son. As she was struggling, a farmer came by who had a gun in his pickup. He ran down just in time to shoot the alligator and save the little boy. But the little boy's legs were mangled. I mean, there was just, you can imagine what an alligator's teeth would do. And the mother was pulling on it. After weeks in the hospital, the little boy was recovering. He was doing quite well considering the damage that was done to him. But he had scars. He had huge scars on his legs. He also had some scars on his arms. Those scars came from his mother's fingernails because she refused to let go of him. A reporter came to the hospital and wanted to interview him. And he said to the little boy, "Can I see your scars?" And he said, "Sure." And he rolled up his gown and showed the reporter those huge alligator teeth scars on his legs. And he said, "I also have scars on my arm. Look at these. I'm very proud of these. These are scars from my mother's fingernails because she refused to let go of me when that alligator had me." I say this to mothers. You may be going through some issues with your children. Don't let go. Don't let go. The enemy is like that alligator. He wants to devour your children. Don't let go of your children. Pray. Seek God. And if you have the ability to instill godly principles in them, do it with all your might. That's the best thing you can do to protect them from that alligator. The Bible says he's a roaring lion, that he goes about trying to devour whoever he can. But we're stronger than him. Mothers, you're stronger. You have more influence on your children. Speak into their life. Save them. You can do it. Stand with me. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everybody just bow your head for a moment so I can pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that we can be here today, Lord, that we honor our mothers. But more important, we're here to worship you. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to do just that, worship and glorify your name. Help us to walk in the truth that you give us. Help us to embrace our Savior Jesus Christ every day. To reach out. To seek you with all our heart, Lord God. To recognize this great gift that you have given us called salvation. To repent. To not allow sin to grip us. But to overcome that sin through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.